ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good day and welcome to Can We Help You, your non-professional advice podcast. My name is Sasha.
Good day, I am Jax.
Good day, I am Franco.
And together, we are the sirs and the ma'am that what? You wish you had in your life.
What is happening?
Are we really bored here? Of the script?
I don't know. I think we should say sir and ma'am more often.
Why?
I think it's nice. I don't know. I like it. I like calling people sir and ma'am. And, yeah, we take your questions every few days and we see if we can help you with them. Thank you to the Ronnies who have responded to their, well, I don't know. How do you say something that's once every, like, couple of months? Do you know how you say, like, bi-weekly?
Yeah,
no, because that's
infrequent.
By 1 month.
Infrequent. Occasional?
You've submitted your questions. You've paid your question tax for being a listener of this free podcast.
Thanks to all the sirs and ma'ams who have paid their question tax.
Oh, no, we're not calling them that now, are we?
We really appreciate it. And for those who haven't, why haven't you? And hurry up and do it.
Taxes are due.
I just have to mention before we go on, now, by the time this comes out, we'll know the result. We'll either be really pumped for Sunday or really depressed. But the Matildas play tonight. It's Wednesday in Australia. And yeah, I just want to say up the fucking Tillies. Go girls. You've got this.
That definitely might not have aged well. But
we've
but
got look, win or lose, we're proud. They made the semifinals. Yeah. First Australian team to ever make a semifinal at a FIFA World Cup. So, you know. And it's look, what I always tell myself, you know, when you're watching the game and you get I only have one sports team and it's the Wallabies. Like, I'm a big fan of the Wallabies. And I'm watching it. I feel like my whole life hinges on it. And then the game ends and I just go about my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a game. Like, I don't know. I'm not one of those, like, fans that dwells on it for ages afterwards.
I have been like that for everything up until this FIFA World Cup.
Really?
Series. Yeah. I am, like, watching old clips and, like, interviews with the Matildas and stuff, just, like, getting pumped up for the game.
I get it, and it's great, but it reminds me of like we've spoken about this, I think, in the last episode, like artist fandom kind of reminds me of the same kind of thing. And I'm all for, like, you know, being a fan of something or other, but the obsession that some people have around being fans of certain things, I love being a fan of things as much as the next person, but getting that level of obsessed, I don't know, not for me.
I think this is different because this is like a moment in time.
Oh, yeah, I agree. This particular time is different. I mean, this may not age very well because by Sunday you might be like, oh, that was good.
Oh, yeah, remember the soccer?
But I agree that this particular time is different and I really hope the Matildas take it all the way. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, ditto.
Yeah.
I feel like they should kind of let us win because they Like, they get the win a lot. Like, England wins a lot. US wins a lot. I feel like they should let us win for once, you know?
Well, we beat England in the Ashes.
Yeah, but the Ashes, we're all Ashes is different. I mean, for this, for soccer, football.
Oh, for football.
You know?
Right.
US wins a lot. England wins a lot. We don't win. So just let us win this one.
I read today that the winner, whichever team wins, each player will get an extra $75,000 as prize money just for getting through this round. So I don't know. If you gave me $75,000, I'd probably want to win more than, you know, just let them win.
I think they win enough. They get enough bonuses.
I just don't know if let them win will really slide in the England team.
Like I said, either way, you know, we're proud of the Matildas and we hope they beat England tonight.
Yeah.
Something really cool happened to me yesterday.
Oh, here we go.
But I had a big moral dilemma over it.
Oh.
So.
We should get a moral dilemma sting made. Who wants to make a moral dilemma sting for us?
You're the only one who can do that.
I know.
We don't know that.
I
could like play like a sound effect on my phone and go, moral dilemma.
I
might, like
maybe I can make it like, you know, this is my moral dilemma, Emma, yeah.
See, this is why you're the best at this.
Yeah, see, if you know, people listening to this might have been listening since the days of Redacted, but Jax used to make all the jingles for the Jason PJ show and they were fucking good. One of my favourites. Accidentally started a fire. That was one of my favorite ones.
You know what? Fall Out Boy have released a version of We Didn't Start the Fire, modern version. I think they might have copied me on that, but anyway.
Yeah, you can take the credit from that.
Yeah, they should credit me as a writing partner on their song.
We're bigger than Fall Out Boy.
Clearly.
However, you also created probably one of the most annoying ones.
Which one?
Jason PJ's.
Birthday balls. Iconic.
20K.
Really.
And a car. Beep, beep. Remember that one?
When we're selling
cars? Anyway, sorry, that was a little walk down memory lane. Anyway, moral dilemma, M-R-M-R-A-A-A. I was walking the dog the other day and he started kind of pulling me in a direction I didn't want to go, but I'm a nice dog mum and I let him go sniff whatever the hell he wanted to sniff. Standing there, and usually I don't really listen to stuff when I walk the dog. I'm kind of just like, I take it as a time to like not have to listen to something or anyone or anything. And so I was just kind of like looking around. And then I look on the floor about 50 meters away. There is a $100 note sitting on the floor.
Sitting on the floor.
And I went.
Like concrete, like a sidewalk?
Yeah, like on a footpath.
Just chilling there. Wow. Wait, was it windy?
Just
was it blowing away in the wind?
No, it wasn't windy. No. It was literally just sitting there. It was just plopped on the footpath.
Wow.
And like I did that thing. I don't think I've ever seen a $100 note in person. And I went,
all right.
Oh, it looks like a piece of paper. What? I said, I don't think I've ever seen one in person. Why? That's not
I get
a good
that.
Thing. Like, makes me look like I'm poor and shit.
$100 notes are pretty rare to come by. You usually get them in wedding cards and that's about it.
How do you get a $100 note? Do you have to go to a bank? I feel like ATMs only dispense $50.
No, they're in circulation.
Yeah, but where do you get them from?
Well, they're just like in rare distribution. People don't usually have $100 notes, particularly these days. Just carrying around a wad of cash with $100 in it.
They should make a $500 note.
Well, with bloody inflation and shit, they should because a dollar coin, $2 coin's obsolete. What can you buy for $1 or $2 these days? Name one thing.
Yeah, they should get rid of the 10 cents. Just putting that out there.
You know what you can get? You can get a bread roll at a bakery. Bakeries are like the last bastion of non-inflation. And I'm talking about your local neighbourhood bakery, not fancy like Laurent Sonoma bakeries. I'm talking the one run, like my one down here, Hot Bread, run by the same Vietnamese family. They've been there for 100 years. Maybe not 100, but
many
I want to say it. Like they were here when I was a kid. So when I was 5 and I went to school in the area, we would walk and get cheese and bacon rolls from this place. And it's the
love
same
a cheese
people.
And bacon roll.
25 years at least. Anyway.
Actually, now that you mention it, $2 coins are redundant. Why don't they just have $1? You can put two $1 to make a $2. Why do you need $2 coins?
No, $2 coins are still relevant. I think you cannot buy anything for $1. Oh, maybe, like I said, a 60 cent roll, like a roll for 60 cents. Anyway, we digress. $100 on the floor.
Thank God. Yeah.
And from my distance, I thought it was like fake money. Like
Monopoly
I thought someone
money.
Had printed off. So I was sure it was that. And I went, I was literally about to walk away going, oh, it's just a piece of paper. And then like my brain kicked in and went, no, go fucking check. Cause if it's real, that's $100. I walk over, I'm kind of looking around, seeing if anyone's like patting down their pockets or like, you know, running after it, being like, oh no, it fell out of my wallet. No, no, no. There's no one around. It's fucking real. It's $100 just sitting on the floor. So I before I picked it up though, I looked around me because TikTok's ruined me. I'm like, there is someone in the bush filming this, you know, and it's going to say the caption like heartless bitch, you know, takes $100 and walks away.
What are you meant to do though?
Okay, well, that was my question. I called my mum.
Oh, my God.
Mum.
Oh, God.
And she's like, I'm in a meeting. I'll call you back. I was like, fuck. Mum's like my first spot for moral compass. Then I had to go to my backup, which is my dad, who I love dearly, but he's a man of few words. I called dad and I go, Dad, I've just found $100 on the floor. He's like, oh, great. Good for you. And I'm like, no, but like, what do I do? Do I have to hand this in? I've got to say, I was 5-10 meters away from the entrance of a post office. So in my head, I went, someone's like gone. You know how the old people still pay their bills in cash at the post office?
Someone's dropped their
home. And I'm like, some poor old biddy's gone in to pay her electricity bill. And as she's shuffling out, she's dropped $100 out of her purse. I really felt like I had to give it in somewhere. And then I also, the other way TikTok's ruined me is that I thought, have you seen those videos where they'll go up to randoms in like a supermarket or on the street and say, hey, like pay a dollar and open this mystery box and there's a prize in there. And people are like, no, fuck off. And they look like total assholes. And then the one person that does gets $5,000 cash. And it's like, oh, you took a chance on life. So in my head, I'm like, if I went and handed this in, someone's going to pop out of the bushes and be like, because you handed that $100 in, here's $5,000.
Oh, my God.
So I'm standing there like, do I hand it in?
Yeah.
Do I hand it in? It's not main character. It's random. It's just random people.
I get it if it's like, I've seen those TikTok things where you find a wallet on the ground and it's got like a phone number in it. And if you call the number, then they're like, oh, here's 10 grand or whatever. And if it's a $100 note and it hasn't got anyone's name on it, then what are you meant to do with it? Where do you hand it in?
So did you pocket it?
Yeah, I pocketed it.
That's what you should do. That was the good call.
That's the good thing to do.
And then I went, you know what? That's something good has happened to me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because my initial thought was something bad is going to come. I'm going to get bad karma for taking this money. I do. I genuinely think that way where I'm like, if you do something good, like it'll come back around. If you do something bad, that'll also come back around. And I was thinking in the negative way and then I kind of came to and I was like, no, you know what? Something good happened to you today. You found a $100 note.
Look, if it's not going to be you, it's going to be someone else that pockets it. So why should it be someone else when it can be you? You know?
Exactly.
And who goes into like a post office, for example, saying, hey, I lost a $100 bill. Has anyone handed in a $100 bill? Like, if that worked, I would be rich.
Yeah, I know. And that was the other thing. I thought, oh, I could go up to, like, there weren't any, there was like one guy nearby, but I saw him walking down the street. So I knew it wasn't him. And there was no one else around. And I was like, oh, I could like kind of go to, there's a cafe nearby. I was like, I could pop into the cafe. I'm like, no, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to keep it for themselves. There's no way that they're going to worry
everyone's
about it.
Everyone's going to say, yes, I lost it.
Exactly. I was at, this was a few months ago. We went to our local supermarket. It was my wife and I. And we went to the self-checkout and whoever was at the self-checkout last forgot to take their change. They obviously got cash out or change. It was like $25. And I was like, and then you have to, you're like, do I just take this? I mean, no one's going to know. And my wife was like, no, we have to hand it to the customer service people in case they come back. And I was like, the customer service. So we did. Went to the customer service. Oh, here, someone forgot their change. The customer service people are going to pocket that $25.
Exactly.
They're not going to give it to them.
Of course they are.
If someone ever comes back in, firstly, it's probably not going to be the same customer service person there. And secondly, they're going to be like, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. They pocketed that, obviously.
I don't know. I think that's a bit different, though, because that's quite like if you're literally in a store, it's, I feel like, because people go, oh, I got my wallet out and I paid. Or someone's gone, I got money out. Oh, my God, where's the money? Oh, I must have left it at the supermarket. If they're around the corner or nearby, they're probably going to go back and see if it's there. And if not, they're probably going to ask customer service. Whereas finding cash on the street, Now, here's the other thing. When I was telling friends, they went, oh, it's only different if it's an envelope full of cash. And I went, is it though? What's the difference? Someone's dropped an envelope of cash. Yeah. That's their fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's any different.
Find its keepers as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think there is like some kind of legal – I feel like you might get into legal issues when it turns into like a briefcase of cash. If you find 100 grand and it's obviously from like a hitman or from a drug dealer or something.
I might keep that.
Yeah, no, here's what I would do. And it's the same thing if you get like accidentally transferred a bunch of money from your bank or whatever. You put it in an account, you get all of the high interest out of it that you can, but you just don't touch it until someone comes after you.
No, banks are different because they can trace that very easily. It's hard to trace an envelope of cash that's been dropped on the floor.
I reckon if a briefcase full of $10,000 or $100,000 winds up near you, you're better off taking that because otherwise it's going to go to some hitman or some drug dealer anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's going to go into bad hands.
Better off to go to you, the honest person.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That was my moral dilemma, MRMRA. But yeah, I don't know what I'm going to spend it on, but I think it's probably going to have to be something really boring because I had to get new windscreen wipers for my car and I have to go pay the mechanic and it's probably going to cost like $80. So see
ya. Ronnie, if you're out there, you have a moral dilemma, MRMRA, for us that we can help you with, then hit us up.
If you've ever found more than like, say, $500 just on the street as well, then let us know. I want to know if you took it, what you did with
it.
Great call. Okay. Oh, yeah, and send that to canwehelpyoupodcast.com, fill out the form, or canwehelpyoupodcast on socials.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I feel like we're soon going to come full circle and like reinvent cash and there'll be like some digital like screen thing that's got cash on there and it'll just be the exact same thing as cash but everyone will think it's different.
We're just handing iPhones to each other?
Yeah, like little iPhones to each other.
Little iPhones. Yeah. Little tiny iPhones. Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
From Ronnie. Ronnie sent this on the website, canwehelpyoupodcast.com. Ronnie writes, what's the difference between going through a rough patch in a relationship and falling out of love? I'm in a 2.5-year relationship and I'm in my mid-20s. Mm. That's
Is that
an interesting
it? No more
one.
Detail?
Nope. What's
to work
the difference?
On.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yep. So I think it's just kind of talking generally about, you know, kind of, I think that's the thing. 2.5 years into a relationship, I feel is when things have really settled down. We all know when you first meet someone and then you get together and there's the honeymoon phase. And, you know, if you're lucky, that can last. I mean, for Shane and I, like, I felt that way for a year plus, like, just, you know, good vibes. And you just want to be with them all the time. And, you know, it's all great.
Why can't that phase last forever?
It's because it's impossible. It's like anything. It's impossible for it to last forever. You know what's interesting? I was reading an article the other week and it was talking about, I think there were 5 stages of relationships and you can actually repeat phases and phase 1 was the honeymoon. Yeah, so it was talking about how I kind of want to get it up, but I don't want to use someone else's work and us talk about it and we sound super smart. What?
Nothing.
Fucking hell. Anyway, so there's the five stages of relationship, according to this article. Don't ask me what all the stages are. I can't remember. But there was the first one was the honeymoon. And then one was like, you know, settling. And one was, you know, conflict. And one was something. And one was something. But the idea is that you can get to like stage three or stage four. And those can be where the relationship actually ends. So it can be conflict that can't be resolved for whatever reason and da-da-da. But it was talking about how if you get to that stage and you make it through, you actually can push yourselves back into the honeymoon phase because it's like you've come from the brink essentially. And then if you've decided to push ahead with a relationship, then you're like, oh my God, I love this person. Like I'm so happy to be here sort of thing, which I found really interesting. So never fear, if you want to push your relationship to the very brink of destruction, you too could experience the honeymoon phase again. But yeah, so I think 2.5 years is definitely at that point where I think a lot of people in relationships, if you're not complacent, if you care about the person you're with and you've, some people just stay together and they're just together forever and it's just like, well, they don't care. Or they break up after a while because they get, it doesn't go anywhere. But
bored.
Yeah. And I think if you're, engaged with your relationship and, you care, and particularly if you're in your mid-20s, like that's a, time in your life when you're going, hey, what am I doing? Am I settling down? Am I, going to live life to the fullest? Am I building my career? I think it's really normal to hit that part of your relationship, that time frame, and go, oh, what are we doing? And if you're fighting, then it can definitely feel like potentially you've fallen out of love with that person, but it could also just be that phase in your relationship. And like you said, Ronnie, it's just a rough patch and we all go through them. I think, without knowing any details of your relationship, aside from the fact that it's 2.5 years long, I think, if you and your partner have discussed it and you're both on the same page, but you acknowledge, hey, we've been fighting a lot or whatever, then it's probably just a rough patch. If you're openly communicating with each other and you know that there's still love there, then, there's a good chance that you can work through and everything will be great. However, if you're not talking to each other, if you're not having sex, if you're angry at them all the time, if you find them annoying, if being in their presence brings you zero joy, I'd say you're probably falling out of love and you're just with them out of habit, really.
Yeah, I think you sort of probably know, right? Like you sort of, and sometimes relationships end not because any one person has fallen out of love or they just end because they have to end or because they're not a good relationship or they're whatever. There's many reasons relationships can or need to end. Falling out of love, one or both people can be one of those reasons. But I think you probably know deep down, right? Like if you did some soul searching, you would know, do I want to push through? Do I want this relationship? Do I want this person in my life? Or is it just easier than looking for someone else and going back to a life, that doesn't have this person in it? As you say, all relationships go through rough patches. Fighting doesn't mean you're falling out of love. In fact, fighting can sometimes mean you care more about what the person thinks about. It's almost like you're more in love. It's like you care so much that you have to fight about it because you're like, you really want this person to see things from your perspective or to understand how you're feeling rather than just you hate them or you don't want to be around them or whatever.
Yeah. Fighting, what do they call it? Fighting for the relationship, which I think that's a fine line
that's
though.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Because Shannon and I never fight and I remember and it was the same when we were like, it was funny, it was around 2 years and I said to my mum one day, I'm like, Mum, we don't fight. Like, is there something wrong with us? Because every relationship I'd seen aside from my parents, it was just constant fighting. Like people were just fighting over everything and there was conflict and I was like, is there something wrong with us? She goes, no, that's how it should be. Like, I think there's a fine line between arguing about things and having full-blown fights every week. Like that's not healthy. But, if you're fighting for something that matters to both of you and that, you can see that once you get through that, if you can reach a resolution that you'll be able to move forward, then that's great. Also, if you're fighting and then you're not really discussing, like you're not resolving the fight and then you just move on and then 3 days later you're fighting again and then that person's bringing things up from a week ago, that is also very unhealthy because that person is holding on to resentment and you guys aren't communicating properly because you're not resolving the argument, which is a problem. Like, you've got to be able to do that in relationships. I think it's fine. You know, they say never go to bed angry. I think you can, as long as you both, you know that you're going to come together to talk about it the next day. Sometimes people just can't resolve arguments on that day. It's too heated or there's too many emotions involved, and it's better to let it rest so that you can come back together with clear heads.
And sometimes you just feel better after a sleep, you know? You get up and you're like, oh, what were we bloody fighting about?
Exactly. But I think it's worth still discussing it because you don't want – because it lingers, you know what I mean? If you haven't resolved an issue or an argument, even if you start acting normal, the issues still linger because at the back of your head you're going, oh, well, we never really sorted that out. But, yeah, I think Jax, you're right. Like, you do know. You do know in the depths of your heart whether you're making a decision to stay with that person because it's convenient and it's easier or because you love them. You just have to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, relationships in general are about communication and being honest with each other, and sometimes it requires hard conversations, and sometimes it requires conversations that you're not sure what the outcome is going to be, and sometimes it requires a conversation that you get to the end and it is an outcome that maybe is the best thing for the both of you, but not one that you saw coming or not one that you really thought was going to happen. For example, maybe you get together, you have a really honest conversation about your lives and your relationship, and you're like, you know what? Actually, this is not good for us to be together right now, or just generally. And then that can be hard to come to terms with too. But sometimes that's what's needed. But you have to get through the communication to find it. If you're not talking at all, then it's just like nothing good's going to come of you not talking.
Franco, anything to add?
I'm really not as good as you guys are at talking about this. I'm very lucky that I haven't really been through a bad breakup. Both of my past relationships before my life partner were relatively short relationships, and they just made sense that, like, yeah, nah, let's break up. I don't like you anymore either.
Yeah. And you were probably young and hadn't been together for that long, so it's completely different than if you've been with someone for 2.5 years.
That totally makes sense. But I think, and it is probably a very naive thing to say because I haven't gone through it, but it makes sense to me that breakups happen because at least one person wants them to happen for one reason or another. So if you're not feeling that way about it, if you think there is a chance and you still want to be together, then it's worth putting the effort in and moving past the fighting and trying to repair the relationship while you still can, I guess.
The other thing is you're in your 20s, you know, you're still young, so, you know, there's lots of life to be lived. There's lots of people.
But if you're Jax, you think that the minute you turn 30, you're all of a sudden old.
Well, I mean, it's not untrue.
25.
You know what I think
close
of
to 30.
Is, you know, when you're young and you're like dating, Franco, you would know this, Sash as well, I'm sure. I'm super young. But not with the, like, idea that you're necessarily going to end up with this person, but you might be with them for 8 months or 12 months or 16 months or even 2 years, 2.5 years, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to marry them. I don't know if, you know, probably not really, but this is fun while it lasts. I feel like that's something you can only do when you're young.
Yeah, definitely. I heard something the other day that absolutely blew my mind. I was talking to someone, a single friend of mine, who has to have some knee surgery done. Like, they're a really active kind of person, and they're always surfing and snowboarding and skateboarding and all of that sort of stuff. And they said, yeah, I've got to get this knee thing done, which will knock me out for like 6 months. I think I'll just find a girl and shack up through the winter. That just blows my mind that that's an option for people.
Yeah, no, have you not heard that where people say, oh, they get a girlfriend over winter and then dump them in time for summer? Like, that's the thing that people do where it's like, oh, I just don't want to.
That's got to be a young person thing.
You want to stay home and watch movies and, like, you know, eat pizza during winter. Who wants to go out in winter? But then come summer, it's like, ah, fuck off.
I mean, I'm sure older people do it. But for me, I would be like, man, if this isn't going to be a thing, like, geez, it's a lot of effort. If you're not going to end up together, it's a lot of effort. Like, we're probably getting married or I'm not putting the effort in.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're both in it for the same reason, though, and you're both enjoying, like, it's kind of like friends with benefits.
Yeah, but isn't it just a friends with benefits?
No, because, you know, it'd be like, oh, like, come to my soccer game. Come watch me play soccer. Come hang out with my friends. Friends with benefits don't hang out with your friends. It's like
I need someone to come with me to this wedding. I need someone to be there for this thing.
Yeah, come do grocery shopping with me on Sunday. I'll make you dinner. You don't do that with friends with benefits.
Seems like a lot of effort, though, if you don't see your life with them. Anyway.
Well, Ronnie, I feel like, you know, do some soul searching. Like Jack said, you probably know deep down which way it is. But if you're still trying to work things out with your partner and they're doing the same thing, then there's definitely hope and you can probably get through it.
Good luck, Ronnie. You said Linger just before, and now I have Linger stuck in my head by the Cranberries. Do you have to let it linger?
Let it linger.
Oh, what a track.
God, what a tune. Oh, fuck, such a good song. I love when I can hear the Cran, because where I work on the Today FM floor, so I get all the fucking... Actually, no, they do play that song sometimes.
But there's other songs. Yeah, once a week or so sessions.
They did play... You're the Voice today by John Farnham, which was a lot of fun. But I get some good tunes that waft up. We've got like a staircase down to the Triple M level right near where I work. It does. It wafts up the staircase sometimes. I'm like, oh, fuck, I wish I was down there, stuck up here with Cyndi Lauper and bloody Beyonce.
Well, I'm going to go listen to some Cranberries.
Okay, enjoy. We will be back in a few days. In the meantime, why don't you check out some of our previous episodes if you haven't, if you're new here.
Lovely.
They're all in the feed right now. Yeah. And send us your question. You have to pay your question tax to Can We Help You? Care of Can We Help You Podcast at Can We Help You Podcast on socials or canwehelpyoupodcast.com.
See you in a couple of days.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.